¡Órale! Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP Podcast. Flying solo, this is Jorge Georgie Martin, and gracias everybody for joining us. Como siempre es un placer y estamos aquí a sus órdenes. And make sure you're checking out our website at familiaffp.com as well as our social media channels at familiaffp on Twitter and Instagram as well as our Familia FFP Facebook page. Recording this right after Monday Night Football, and gotta tell you, the Raiders looked really good tonight. 34-24 over the New Orleans Saints. They opened up Allegiant Stadium, just looking fantastic. Looking at how this was. I mean, they had sustained drives. The offensive line was doing a great job against a really good defensive front for the New Orleans Saints. Derek Carr went 28-38 for 282 yards and 3 touchdown passes. Found Darren Waller 12 of those times for 103 yards for 1 touchdown. He was really the only significant threat in the passing game. Josh Jacobs was just his usual self, 27 rushes, 88 yards. He almost had a touchdown. He was stuffed at the one-yard line. Jalen Richard did sneak in a late touchdown to ice the game. But overall, it was just a good effort. You could also tell the Raiders are not very good on the defensive side, so it's there's still a work in progress. So there's going to be some shootouts in this game. But Derek Carr, not too many shots downfield. That's always been the knock against him. I don't think it was for lack of trying. I mean, Bryan Edwards had a couple of ball. 22 catches for 42 yards, though. Henry Ruggs, only one catch for 4 yards. I mean, it was a question mark whether he was going to be available for the game up until pretty much game time. So maybe that was what was kind of limiting him a little bit. On the New Orleans side, Drew Brees quietly 312 yards, 26 of 38 attempts. Did have one touchdown. The guy who had the big game was Alvin Kamara, 174 total yards, 79 on the ground, 95 through the air, on nine receptions, caught all 9 of his targets. So he was really good. Surprisingly, a little bit, Tre'Quan Smith had 86 yards, and 5 receptions, kind of filling in that Michael Thomas role, because Emmanuel Sanders caught his first ball for 18 yards, first and only ball for 18 yards, with about a minute left in the game. So he was just totally not a factor. Jared Cook caught a touchdown there, gave me a corazón roto in our Familia League. So that was a little tough. But good game, really good game. Beautiful new Allegiant Stadium. Can't wait to see it in with fans in it. All right, let's get into some cheesemate. And what was suspected last night after the games has been confirmed. Saquon Barkley out for the season, ACL tear. Cortland Sutton also out for the season. That's a huge blow for the Denver Broncos. It didn't sound like it was that bad of an injury, but it was bad. But Saquon Barkley, we're going to be talking about some replacements here. Cortland Sutton, it really looks like the passing work is going to become, or the receiving work is going to be directed at Jerry Jeudy and Noah Fant. And it's going to be someone other than Drew Lock throwing to him, because he's got a sprained joint in his sprained shoulder. So it's 2 weeks before he gets evaluated when he's going to come back. So that's going to be a little while. Another injury that really hurts, Christian McCaffrey, CMC, high ankle sprain. That's going to knock him out 4 to 6 weeks. It's just an ay, mijo. Ay, Dios mío. Is that one tough to swallow? Again, we're going to have an option for you on the waiver wire in a few minutes. More injuries. 49ers, they're just piling up for them. Raheem Mostert and Tevin Coleman both have knee injuries and are expected to miss some time. Jimmy G is going to be week to week with an ankle sprain himself, so it's going to be all new team there. Primo Ricky definitely, I kidded him earlier that he was jinxing the 49ers. So no bueno, no bueno. Over in Buffalo, Dawson Knox enters the concussion protocol, so we're going to see how long that takes him to get out of it. Chris Godwin over in Tampa was removed from the league's concussion protocol, so it's looking good for him to return to the lineup next week. And last piece of injury news, Paris Campbell is going to be out indefinitely after injuring his PCL and his knee. So we just don't know. So it's next week it's going to be a good matchup. We're going to talk about that a little bit in some of the waiver wire, one of the waiver wire picks. And oh, I forgot, there was one more bit of injury news. Cam Akers has been diagnosed with separated cartilage in his ribs, so he's day to day. I can't imagine him playing this week. So and with Malcolm Brown also nursing a finger injury, it's looking like Daryl Henderson is going to be the lead caballo on this team. So keep an eye on things. We'll keep an eye on things. Both we'll keep you updated both on our website as well as our Twitter. All right, let's get into the waiver wire. And well, you know, I making Ryan Tannehill my streamer of the week last week apparently did not do enough. He's still only owned in 46%, even though he got four touchdown passes and 249 yards. Well, this week he's at Minnesota. That's a pass defense that's just not has been torched already. So fire up Tannehill. I'm not making him the streamer of the week because the streamer of the week this week is going to be Gardner Minshew. He's only 32%, and it's going to be Thursday. He's playing Thursday night against Miami, at home against Miami. So familia, we got to get Gardner Minshew on rosters. He is, you know, it's three touchdowns in back-to-back weeks. It's you know, this whole talk before the season that the Jags are going to be tanking. Well, I think he's going to, you know, even though they're 1-1, I think Mr. Minshew is going to screw this up to the point where he's going to get a 10-year job as the Jaguars' starting quarterback. You know, Dolphins, not a very good defense, and those Thursday night games do have a bit of a shutout potential. Look at last week's Cleveland-Cincinnati game, 35-30. So, Gardner Minshew at the very least should be starting in two quarterback leagues. And if he keeps throwing three touchdowns, you know, granted that's debatable, but if he keeps doing that, you got to start looking at him as being an every week starter in single quarterback leagues. So, we're going to see. Ponlo en la mira. Last one is last one, main one. Philip Rivers, he's home against the New York Jets. It hasn't been perfect with Philip, but that Jets defense is just a shambles against the pass. They're pretty good against the run, but you know, even with losing Paris Campbell, it's just a really good matchup, and Philip Rivers is only on 27%. Just something to keep an eye on, even though there's still talk about the starter returning, but Justin Herbert. Possibly being a you know, another streamer this week, or someone in two quarterback leagues. He's only owned in 3% of leagues. Granted, who was going to take a shot on him last week before before he was named the starter just seconds before the game. So, but he might be someone to keep an eye on because he looked really good. Looked really good. Let's go to the running backs, which is where there's going to be a lot of activity on the waiver wire. Mike Davis is only owned in 6% of leagues because, again, who is going to start him or, you know, pick him up when he's playing behind Christian McCaffrey? So, the most interesting part about Davis is that he caught all eight targets for 74 yards. So maybe he won't be that much of a factor out of the backfield, but it looks like he certainly will be as a pass catcher. So and you know, Teddy Bridgewater definitely checked down quite a bit in this last game. So, you know, Davis is somebody worth really expending a quite a bit of fab budget, maybe even half your fab budget, because he's going to be playing a lot over these 4 to 6 weeks. To take over for the Barkley in New York, it's probably going to be Wayne Gallman initially, at least on early down work. He's only owned in 1% of leagues. So, He did have a game last year when Saquon was out with an ankle injury where Gallman had 24 touches for 118 yards and two touchdowns. So again, he's no Saquon. He'll probably be limited to first couple downs. But definitely, unless they sign somebody, which apparently there was talk of Devonta Freeman visiting the Giants on Tuesday. So we'll see. We'll see. Deion Lewis is another. It could be another factor in the Giants' backfield. He does get a lot of passing work. He got five targets on Sunday. They do have the 49ers, who their defense has really been hit hard with injuries to it. Solomon Thomas and Nick Bosa have both been tore their ACLs and are out for the season. And already they had Richard Sherman on IR. So in the defensive line and in the secondary. So it's tough. So there might be a little room for Deion Lewis. Last one, Daryl Henderson is someone that needs to get owned. He's only owned in 32% of leagues. I know it's a tough matchup against Buffalo, but if he's going to be keeping the job for any period of time, you got to have him. I said last one, but this is actually the last one. Joshua Kelly. He's got a tasty matchup against the Carolina Panthers. He's owned in 39% of leagues. He had 23 carries this past week, which is double that he got in the opener. You gotta get this guy owned in your leagues. Other possibility. Oh, before I forget, Jerick McKinnon. I mentioned how it looks like Tevin Coleman and Raheem Mostert are going to be out. Well, McKinnon is likely going to be the starting back as long as they're out, and it's a great matchup against the Giants. So get him out there. A couple other possibilities, a couple of speculation plays. Jacksonville is going to host the Miami Dolphins, which means Myles Gaskin is going to be the starting back. And maybe grab a flyer on Devontae Freeman to see if there's someone who's worth grabbing on there. On the wide receiver side, N'Keal Harry looked fantastic. 8 of 12 targets for 72 yards, no touchdown, but it really showed like he's gaining some chemistry with Cam Newton. He's owned at 27% of leagues, and they're home against the Raiders, who are traveling across the country to play the Patriots. So that's gonna be one. Preston Williams, we're talking about that Miami Jacksonville game on Thursday. He's owned in 35% of leagues. Get him in your lineup. That's going to be something that we keep an eye on. The last there's a pair here of receivers in Philadelphia, DeSean Jackson and Jalen Reagor. They are both owned in less than 50% of leagues, and they're playing Cincinnati. This, I think, is going to be a get-right game for the Eagles. They've had a couple of tough matchups. The Cincinnati defense is not very strong. They're both seeing a fair number of targets. Jackson got six receptions, while Jalen Reagor got four in his last game against the Rams. So I could see these guys both getting significant playing time and targets this weekend. So another guy to keep an eye on, definitely Russell Gage. He's only on 22% of leagues. It's a tough matchup against the Bears this weekend, but Gage is somebody you got to own. He could be somebody that you play during in flex games because, I mean, this is 2 weeks in a row that he's gotten significant targets, and that's with Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley being fantastic. On the tight ends, Eric Ebron has a great matchup when the Steelers take on Houston this week. Now, he did get five targets this week. There are a lot of mouths to feed over in Pittsburgh, but again, Ebron got five targets, three catches for 43 yards. So there is some possibility that he might get a touchdown, a good possibility that he'll get a touchdown. Chris Herndon, a lot of people are jumping ship on him. It's a pretty good matchup at Indianapolis. I guess someone's got to catch the ball for the Jets, and it's looking like Jamison Crowder, who is their number one receiver, is going to be a little bit banged up. So you need to keep an eye on Herndon as a possibility because, again, someone's got to do it. Logan Thomas, he's owned in 32% of leagues. He's been the darling. He's got 17 targets in his first two games of the season. So, and a great matchup at Cleveland this week. So, you know, some possibly a streamer for you or someone to kind of grab to maybe be a second tight end on your team. And, how can you let's keep an eye on Dalton Schultz. He's only owned in 2% of leagues. He looked like, you know, maybe he wasn't as dynamic as Blake Jarwin, but he got the job done. He caught 9 of 10 balls for an 88 yards and a touchdown. That definitely got plenty of volume from Dak Prescott. So it's a tough matchup this week because Seattle, they're going to Seattle, and Jamal Adams, that means he's going to be covering Schultz, but again, he's more of a play for the remainder of the season. On the defense, you know, onto the defenses, a lot of people cut the Chargers because of playing the Chiefs this week because they're only owned in 30% of leagues. They're home against the Carolina Panthers this week. Grab them. And lastly, you know, just if you need a kicker this week, Mason Crosby at New Orleans, kicking in the Superdome. He's already got 4 field goals this season. So, again, grab him. He's a good streamer possibility if you're looking for a kicker or somebody who's been frustrating you. Well, that's it on this quick edition of the Familia FFP podcast. Eso es todo for our show. Thanks again to Anchor.fm for being our hosting network and for making sure our independent podcast gets out into the Familia community. Please subscribe and leave us a review on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at FamiliaFFB, as well as our Familia FFB Facebook page. And don't forget, FamiliaFFB.com, where we got new content all the time. Gracias, everybody. And remember, todos somos familia.